Hello, everybody. Welcome to the prayer portal call tonight with Shitui and hopefully Kenny for the prophecy of the bear. And I'm just really excited to be here again tonight. We've got Marjean on the call. Thank you, Marjean, for orchestrating all of this for us tonight. And I just want to say thank you, too, to the amazing team that continues to work behind the scenes to make sure that we have these calls, these prayer portal calls. We also, as many, I hope all of you know, that we have our mothership membership up and running, along with our brand new faced website. Again, thank you for all the people behind the scenes, the design committee, to the webmaster who's created that. And it's one way for each and every one of us to get involved in the community. We all have so very, very, very many gifts. And this is a moment in time where we're really asking all of us to collaborate and share those gifts inside the community. And there's a lot of ways that you can do that. We are also creating a way to have a directory so that we can see all the places that we sit around the world, so that when I want to go travel to another place, another country, crossing over this beautiful ocean of ours, I can look online and I can see, there's a Maya Tree Breathwork happening in England in June this year, which is exactly what happened. We opened up with our first Maya Tree Breathwork in England this year, and Jyoti is still over in England right now, so she is sending her love. She will not be on the call, but she is at the Glastonbury Festival right now, and I think she gave me the number of, like, there's 270,000 people that are there. And at this time, they also included the elders and the wise ones from different sacred places around this beautiful earth of ours to come and share their wisdom with that many people, with that many change makers. So a big hello and a lot of love sending over the ocean, over the airwaves to you from Jyoti. And I want to say thank you. I have my sister Wendy on the phone right now, and I've asked if she would offer up a prayer this evening. Wendy, I'm sure you all know who she is one of our original co-founders of Kayamari, our spiritual village that's global, and is currently now, through all of the years that she's been a teacher and the Global University Director and all the things that she does, right now she's also the Center for Sacred Studies Board President. So, Wendy, thank you so much for being on the call tonight, and would you please open us up with a prayer?
Oh, thank you, sister. I would love to. Hello, everybody. I feel so honored to be asked and to be on this call, and super excited, Shitui, to hear everything you guys have to share. So if everybody would just settle in and feel your feet wherever you're at and take a nice, deep breath. Aho, Creator, in all of the names that we know you, we thank you for this breath of life. We thank you for all of our blessings, seen and unseen. Creator, we give thanks for our lives, and we give thanks for the water that we have, and for ancestors of this land, and for all of the ways that we pray, Creator. We give thanks for that. As I sit here and feel into my heart, Creator, it feels so full and overflowing with goodness. And then there's that little stone in there, Creator, as I think about what's going on in this country today. And I'd like to send a blessing out right here and right now to all of the people that are suffering, Creator, for all of the politicians, Creator. May they feel their hearts and make decisions that are humane and support everybody, Creator. Special blessings goes down to our border where our children are being held in inhumane conditions, Creator. ask that you touch each one of their hearts and in any way that they might find some goodness in their situation right now, Creator. Thank you for Shitui and for Kenny and for the way that they hold these ways of prayer, this way of life for them, Creator. I ask that the prayer that comes through these teachings touch each one of us so that when we walk our walk, that we have our hearts open, Creator, our minds clear, so that we may hear the message that you have for us. And as we hear those messages, Creator, that we apply them in our lives and that we share the goodness with all those that we touch. Creator, I give great thanks for the ancestors of this land and for the spirits of the four directions and for all the elements out there, Creator, for the way that they make our lives sustainable, the way that they make our lives filled with goodness, the way that they make our lives enjoyable, Creator. May we take that joy into our hearts and share that joy, Creator, with all those that we touch. And bless Jyoti on her travels and the beautiful work that she does, Creator, and may she feel our love right here and right now. And Creator, please look into our hearts and hear our prayers. And as you answer those prayers, Creator, that we may share those prayers with all those that we touch. And thank you, Creator, for these ways of prayer and for the ways that our Indigenous relatives are willing to share these ways with us, Creator. And may we honor them and hold them close to our hearts, Creator. We thank you for my life and for my sister Darlene's life and for Marjean's life and for all those that take the time out of their lives so that they may do things like this, so that we can sit and hear these ancient ways of prayer. Creator, I give great, great thanks for all the goodness that we have in our hearts. Aho.
Thank you, Sister Wendy. Thank you so much. And, you know, as Wendy's been sharing about the times that we're in, this is one of the reasons why we have these prayer portal calls happening every month. We've been asked to help offer up some ways to navigate these times. The Kogi say that, you know, the end is falling into the beginning, and if we watch what's happening as that fall is happening, but that we stay focused not on what is breaking down but is breaking through, then it will allow us to get to the place where we can be in the energy of Mom putting on her new dress, her new story, what she's calling forth for herself, and we can follow that. And so we've committed to having 12, one a month for a year. And this particular one is our seventh offering, which I'm so grateful and delighted to be on the call here with Shitui. As you know, the Indigenous peoples that we know, the Kogis, yourself, there's prophecies that talk about the times that we are in right now. And when we share these prophecies and when you share them with us tonight, sis, and also my brother Kenny, hoping he can jump on the call, it's a time for us to be able to, you know, redirect ourselves so that we are firmly planted on this earth. So many people since our conversation have come and talked about that they're feeling the stuck moment, that they're feeling caught between things and they don't really know what that is. And after speaking with you, I was so grateful that this moment in time where you're going to be sharing about the prophecy of the bear and about that in-between time. And I know that everybody has read what was put out on the invitation for tonight. So I'm not going to share from that. I'll let you share from that aspect. But I just want to introduce you a little bit from the way that I know you. And, you know, earlier we were talking about the moment where you had joined our ministry training program as an auditor and being the woman that you are, the way that I know you, the open-hearted curiosity, this kindness and compassion that you have for yourself and for others. And we were at our Kayamari Crystal Mountain, and it was our Kayamari, this sacred blue deer that steps from the spirit world into this world, and they say that where that blue deer steps, medicine grows to heal community. And we were celebrating our anniversary, our birthday, and we were standing around the kitchen table looking at an email that you had sent to our sister Jyoti about your elder who had shared that you were supposed to come and meet us that way, and how you were going to be moving from being auditor to being in the class, and how all of that from your elder that you'll be sharing more about tonight brought us to this moment in time where we have grown together and become elders together and shared ceremonies back and forth together, taking care of life the way Sister Wendy just prayed about. You know, I'm just really touched and inspired by you, and I'm so very grateful that you're here tonight. And I know that a few years ago, you also offered up on our Wisdom Bridge teleseminar the 13 Moons teaching, and we still have that to offer. So that might be something that at the end, if you're open to that, Marjean can then send something out to people to reconnect people with the next, with, you know, a bigger relationship with you and these other, the 13 Moon teachings. So thank you. Thank you for who you are and for what you've brought to my life, what you've brought to our community, for the way you and Kenny walk with us. And it's just an honor and a privilege. So thank you for being here tonight. And I hope that, you know, Kenny will be able to make it at some point. I turn it over to you, sister.
Thank you so very much. Really appreciate all that you do as well, and the organization of the Center for Sacred Studies. I'll tell you, I think my elder knew back in 2009 more than I did when he suggested that I connect with what he called at the time the voice of all the women of the world. Somehow he knew that through the Center for Sacred Studies that I would have access to the voice of all the women of the world. And I don't know how he knew that, but as I sit here in this chair right now listening to what you said, it occurred to me that we are listening to all the women of the world and the men as well. So this is really a very important collaboration. And I look back at the last words of my elder who did finally pass, and think of what he must be thinking right now up in the spirit world. He's probably laughing his butt off because I never dreamed that I would hold with such tenacity and such conviction and passion those teachings that he handed to me and to a few others. Not too many have carried this on. It's difficult. It takes a lot of our time to stay in the process of learning because we don't learn the way we used to learn, and that is actually part of the prophecy. You know, we used to learn through experience, and today we learn through memorization. And, I mean, I'm not to say that we don't still learn from experience, but as far as traditions go, as far as life goes and learning about our Mother the Earth, we learn that through experience. So today we read about it. Or we Google it. If we want to know what kind of a tree something is, or if we want to know what the weather is going to be, we Google it. Where in old days, we didn't need to do that. We lived outside, and we felt the wind. We knew how to smell the humidity. We knew how to listen to nature. So we always knew what was coming far ahead of the weatherman, who is wrong a lot, and we were never wrong. We were connected to nature. We knew what was coming, all of us, not just indigenous people, but all of those who live outside are connected to nature. So I want to move into a little bit about the prophecy of the bear. this is an important prophecy. It's a prophecy that has been taught to our people, and it wasn't one that we used because it wasn't time. This prophecy started in 1987, and it ends in 2039. The prophecy of the bear aligns with the Big Dipper up in the sky. This is what we call our mama bear, Ursa Major. She's connected to the little bear, which is Ursa Minor, and it goes off. There's a whole constellation we use up in the sky. Starts with the mama bear, goes to the baby bear, then it goes on from the North Star to the four-directional star cluster. So there's a lot of information up there, and our people use the stars as a map, and we watch them. Not all stars are stationary. As a matter of fact, if you Google, forgive me, because sometimes Google is very, very healthy, very helpful. You will find that if you Google the Big Dipper 200,000 years ago, or even 20,000 years ago, you will get information that the Big Dipper did not look like it does today. And in 20,000 years from now, it won't look like that Big Dipper again. That particular star cluster is a moving, living star cluster. It's not stationary, as in many stars in the sky will be changing over the time. So this time that we're in now is the cycle that we call the in-between times. And the reason I say that is this particular cycle is the prophecy of the bear for a reason. The bear, for our people, we learned about the medicine. We learned how to walk on the ground like the bear. The bear, our people say, used to walk upright. And when we became more disconnected from our natural instincts and more connected to our, westernized instincts or whatever you want to call it, the bear was ashamed. He was ashamed to see how our job, we were falling down. Our job was to take care of the animals. It was take care of the plants. And we were falling down literally on our job, and the bear was ashamed, and he would no longer walk upright with man. He dropped to all four legs to show us his shame, to show us that he would no longer walk with us if we were going to continue to trash our home. And we were told that someday, as this fourth world ended and the fifth world begined, there would be an overlap of this particular cycle that we would call the in-between times or the prophecy of the bear. And between this time, we would have this short span to learn how to grasp the messages and the things we messed up in that fourth world so that those that would live in the fifth world would not have to start with nothing or repeat the same mistakes. And when I say start with nothing, we have lost way over 50% of our species. We have lost many of the critters that we used to learn from, and we are now losing our bear. Our bear is, just as the prophecy said, struggling for the territory to live in. So I'm going to share with you that this black bear, the bear of this nation, of the North Americas, the DNA of this bear goes back over 350,000 years. This bear didn't look exactly like it does now, but this bear has been here way before we were here. So when I say we followed the bear in, that's what I'm talking about. We came behind that bear. And this bear in the Asian countries is the grizzly bear. This bear came over with the people that migrated to this North America. They followed the bear there. So people have been following the bear for thousands and thousands of years because the bear reminded us of who we are. And the bear is one of, I think, two animals. I believe the dolphin also has the power of intention, intuition. The bear is capable of intuition. This bear, when you run into him out in nature, has the power of intuiting your next move. He knows before you do what you're going to do next because he's much more connected to nature than you are. or than myself. Even though I spend a lot of time out in nature, I still spend more time in the house. So it takes a lot of practice to reconnect with nature. So this prophecy I'm talking about is that in-between time and our last opportunity to connect with nature before the fifth cycle begins and the fourth cycle is no longer here. So when we look at the fourth cycle, we say it's much like a person drowning in the ocean and they're coming up and fighting. You see this grabbing for the water and trying to keep their head above the water. And that last breath, you just visualize that's the fourth world coming up and taking its last breath before it sinks into the abyss and is just no longer a part of the prophecy. And then we begin anew. So all of the things that we see now for us who follow this prophecy are very encouraging because we know that all the things that Darlene spoke about before that are, or that Wendy spoke about in her prayer, all of those things are the fourth world's last breath. So this is what we're watching now as we see this chaos in the world and we get discouraged and we feel hopelessness. Just know this is the death of that mindset. This is the death that killed really so much of the species. This is the end of that destruction. So we have a great opportunity in this cycle to grasp on to those things that are left and save them so that when we begin in the next world, we have something to hold on to. This is a beautiful world. You think about it. This, you look around, and we may not be conscious of all the things that we've lost, but let's be conscious of what's still here and realize that we now have the biggest and best opportunity while everybody else is being distracted in the hopelessness. Those of us warriors will become empowered in the hopelessness and ask everybody to join in with us as we capture nature and bring her back into our soul. Everything that's in our body is everything that's in our mother. Our body, all the composition of everything that's in here, we can find that in nature. So this all sounds wonderful. And how do we reconnect? How do we find that part of nature inside of us? Because this is a cycle that we need to pay very close attention. And we need to keep looking up into the sky for guidance and realize that those stars are watching everything that we are and everything that we do. And we also want to remember when we look up into those stars who that Big Dipper is, that that's that mama bear and that's her. It's sparkling back to us, showing us our own reflection. The bear, the reason the bear is so important right now, as I've shared with you the essence of it, is that we are following the bear again. And the bear is going a different place now. The bear is going back up. It's slowly going back up to Star Nation. There's a lot that can be interpreted from that, so I don't really want to go too deep in that without, there's more teachings that we are, as Darlene said, the 13 moons, we're expanding that teaching. So we're going to be bringing that full circle into the entire prophecy with all the things that support the prophecy that bring you to the place of understanding what you can do in this moment, in this in-between moment, instead of feeling hopeless. There is so much you can do. And if everyone on the call right now has access to a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, I am going to give you a place to start coming into the prophecy as an active participant of this prophecy. This isn't a prophecy you listen and learn about. This is a prophecy you engage with and you practice it. You do it. It's a living prophecy. It's one that you get involved with. That's why we do the bear dance. So when we're out there doing this bear dance, we're actually enacting the prophecy because what we're doing as we put that skin on is we're aligning our whole body, everything that our body, all of our senses, all of our physical body as it relates to all four directions or all five directions. And that dance is a reenactment of the prophecy. It's a reenactment of our connection to nature, through the bear, through Star Nation, and back to the ground. So it's not just a dance. You just don't go there and watch something. There's actually something happening there. There's actually an action that we are taking, much like, I don't know if any of you know about the quantum mechanics or quantum physics. It's actually a way of making something happen through the body's action as we connect with our heart. We connect with our love for this earth, our love for each other, and we connect the top of our crown to Star Nation. So we make this big circle using our body as the magnet, as the part that pulls and pushes at the same time, making a big circle that connects everything together. So it's a medicine. It's how we actually make something happen. So the reason I want you to get that piece of paper and a pencil is I'm going to give you the very beginning of how you align your body and your senses with the directions and the planet. So let me know when you're all ready with your piece of paper and pencil, because I'm going to start here. To get this out, I always make a little thing so I don't mess up. Sometimes,
okay.
Because sometimes my brain is stuck in the linear fourth world, which is going to work every day trying to pay my mortgage. It's very distracting sometimes. So what we want to do right now is we're going to draw a line at the top of the paper, maybe about 4 inches long, and then about 4 inches down, draw another line from left to right. Make these even lines, both 4 inches from left to right on the top and 4 inches from left to right on the bottom. Then take on the left and connect the top line to the bottom with a long straight line. And then do the same on the right side so that you end up with a big box on your piece of paper. So in the box, you're going to make 4 lines from the top to the bottom, which gives you 5 sections. Does that make sense to everybody?
4 vertical lines making 5 sections.
Yep. So you've got from the top to the bottom, you're making boxes right now is what you're doing. Graph paper. Yeah, you're making a graph. My son's, he's helping me right now. The next generation. He knows all this stuff already. He's very smart. So now you're going to go across from left to right, and you're going to make 4 more lines so that you have 5 boxes going down as well as 5 boxes going across. So you end up with 25 total boxes. Is that how you do that? Yeah. I'm trying to do math here. So, yeah, you'll end up with 25 boxes.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. We're going to go from left to right on the top box. The first word you're going to write on that left-hand top corner is air. The next box on the top, smell. The third box on the top, nose, like the nose on your face. And the fourth box on the top is mind, like the mind in your head. And then the last box on the top is the direction of north. Just write the word north. And now we're going to go down to the second row of boxes, and you're going to write the first box, fire. Second one, sight, as in seeing. Sight. Third box.
Light.
Sight.
F-I-G-H-T?
Yeah, like seeing, like your sight from your eyeball.
Oh, sight. Thank you.
And then the third box is eye, like the eye in your head. The fourth box is spirit. And the last box on the second row is east, the direction of the east. Now we're going to go to the third row, first box, water. Second box, taste. Third box, mouth. Fourth box, emotions. Fifth box, the direction of the south. Now the fourth row, first box is earth. Second box is touch. Third box is body. Fourth box is physical, like the physical world. And then the fifth box is the direction of the west. Now the last line, bottom line, first box is ethers, like the unseen, ether, etheric. You just write ether. Second box is hearing, hearing like your ears. Third box is your ears. Fourth box is soul. And the fifth box is center. Now below the box, you want to write the word inner. That direction is the sense of spirit or your kundalini. And then under that, you write above, which is your third eye or clairvoyance. The reason I put those down there is the direction of inner and the direction of above are not in those boxes. That's the prophecy. The boxes, that's Mother Earth. That's our connection to nature. So they're two separate teachings, but you need to put them down there because they are part of the in-between times. It's part of how we learn how to align with the time that we're in right now between the fourth and the fifth world. So as you look at that and you study that, try applying that to your daily life. Go outside and use this little diagram and just do nothing with it right now but hold it. Just see how it works. Just look at, wow. Think about the directions. Think about what you know about the directions. And how the senses and how the elements all align, because this is a powerful teaching. What I just gave you was how everything in your body matches to everything outside of your body. And you can stand in the center and turn all four directions and now know what element goes to what part of your body goes to what sense goes to what. It's just a very empowering teaching because now you have a place to take all this. You have a place to put all this. So it's not just a bunch of words. It actually is something. It actually means something. Because every part of our senses, our bodies, is connected to every other part in nature. So when you think of yourself as separate from nature or separate, you're not. Everything is in alignment with everything else. So I don't know if anybody has any questions on that I just gave you. If not, I'll continue because there is so much more that stems off of that little box that you just drew on the piece of paper. So as I speak about all these... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, we'll open it up at 6 if that works for you, for other people having questions.
Okay.
So when
okay.
you do, be thinking of your questions now, everybody. Go ahead.
There you go. Okay, that works. So what I can say to you about this prophecy right now as we all come together is one of the most important parts about this prophecy is that when you think about the bear, when we use this bear skin, we cover ourselves up. We cover our identity because our identity is what's getting us in trouble. Our identity, we've lost so much about our identity, and what we do is we try to identify ourselves through our egos. And what the bear does is it takes that away because our egos is what we've learned in life. It's how we survive, and, you know, God knows we need ego because there's a certain part of ego that protects us. But it's that part of ego that's run awry with instincts that have run awry that bring us to the place we are today. So when we think about this bear, what this bear is teaching us when we put that skin on is how to not identify with the color, the religion, or the ego, or all the shadows. It takes all that and it puts it underneath and holds it in suspension for a moment so that we can just be in nature and align with nature once that skin goes on. What it does is it takes away our judgment. It takes away that sight that's out of balance that sees skin color as being something that separates us rather than bringing us together. And one of the things about the bear is all colors. Bears go through phases. They go through the light phase to the dark phase. This is why this bear prophecy is so important for what's going on in our world right now, because the bear is all colors. The bear, when it's born, is one color, and it goes through four stages of color in the lifetime of a bear, other than the spirit bears who are born white. The spirit bear is a whole nother teaching. It teaches us something different. I don't have time to go into that right now. But if you've ever seen a spirit bear, his eyes are red, his claws are red, and we say that is our blood to remind us of blood that's been spilled for us to be here today. And the fur is white. And if it's not an albino bear, then it's going to go through all those phases of color. So there's something for us to learn in there because we have all gone through all phases of color in our DNA. We've been here as all colors. So the bear teaches us to put that belief system aside and get over it. Don't look at the color of another person's skin when you're talking about the prophecy of the bear. So we put that ceremony together, and we have already, in just the 10 years that we have been doing this ceremony, if you think about it, Wendy, because you were there, just think about this for one moment. And those of you who weren't there, I'm going to use Wendy as a witness right now. We had all four nations there this last weekend at that bear dance. We had the Asian nation. We had the African American nation, we had the white nation, and we had the red nation. All in the sweat lodge praying together, all in the arbor praying together. So we have already won at this bear dance. And this is not the first time we have experienced this. We have already been in lodges where not only have we got all four nations in there with us, but we have intertribal, and you know there's a lot of fighting right now between indigenous nations, especially here in Northern California. The tribes don't get along with each other. So when we put together a bear dance, the power of that prophecy, the power of that medicine cuts through all of that bullshit. And you are standing there and you don't even know that you're in a circle in an arbor with all nations. You don't even think about it because you're focused on watching the bear go around that fire. You're distracted in that moment, and you're in prayer. We have already made it. We've already won. So the more we do these ceremonies, the more we do these dances, the more we bring all those nations together, the more that ripples out. And the most beautiful thing, the reason why that ceremony was so difficult, I'm going to tell you, all of you, that was a very difficult ceremony this last weekend. It was very good. very good, oh my gosh, like over the top good, as equal as dark. Very, very, a lot of darkness came in there. More darkness than is in most of our ceremonies. And that is what the prophecy teaches us, is that that's that fourth world dying. That's that fourth world taking its last breath. And it comes in attached to the belief system of many of our Native brothers and sisters. And it got pretty, there's a lot of ugly stuff there. But guess what? No one had to experience that but those of us that knew it was there. And we have to know that's there. Those of us who are out front taking care of that ceremony, we have to know that that's there. And we have to know how to see who walks in with it. Because if we don't, we're unconscious, it could take us and it'll squash us out. So when I say that, I mean that there's a lot of tests. And we have to keep going. And we trust that that medicine takes care of things so that at the very end, when we're all saying goodbye to each other, we are still hugging. We're still happy. The ugly went home. It didn't win. It didn't break us up. It didn't get to have a voice. We take that voice away. And all we do to take that voice away is just keep that skin on, keep those songs going, keep the drum going, keep the sage burning, and keep focused on that box I just gave you drawn on that piece of paper. All that stuff is what we're doing in that moment when we're out there, is we're aligning with all those things that I gave you on that piece of paper. So it's a powerful thing to watch. And you have to recognize when you're in that, you have to recognize not to let it take you out when that ugly comes in, when that last breath is trying to survive. So I'm telling you this because you have to take this into the world with you when you go into the ugly and you go out there and you are struggling and you feel hopelessness and you feel like, oh, my God, there's no place for me. Guess what? There is a place for you. You come to our arbor. You come and you see all four nations coming together in prayer so that you have an opportunity to see. I'm inviting all of you right now. Everybody's invited to come to this because this is a prophecy that includes all four nations. You need to see this. You need to know it's happening because this gives you hope to know that somewhere on this planet, in the midst of all this ugly crap that can be going on with all these politicians, is that really celebrate, laugh, celebrate. They're dying. That's why they're so in your face right now, because they are trying to get that last breath in and win, and they're just not going to do it. So just remember what's going on and what's happening, and take your part of that, take your piece of that, and bring it to the table. As I just gave you that little piece on this piece of paper, and there's going to be a lot of opportunities for any of you that's on this call to keep learning, keep connecting with nature. I'm going to invite each and every one of you to at least spend 15 minutes in the morning outside. I know we're all busy. If you can't do 15 minutes, at least do 2 minutes before you get up and you go out into your work day and into whatever day you have. You step into the prophecy of the bear. And the way you do that is you take that piece of paper. You go outside in the morning and spend, even if it's a second, just with your feet bare. I don't care how cold it is, how hot it is. You take your shoes off. You put your bare feet on that dirt. You don't have dirt, go get a box of dirt and throw it in your cement patio or wherever you are and stand in it. For that moment, just visualize this little box I gave you. Bring it into your heart. And then at night, before you go to bed, at the setting sun, do the same thing. Thank grandfather, thank nature for the day. And if you do have time, the presence to be able to do this, get yourself a journal. Reason I tell you get yourself a journal is because what I'm asking of each and every one of you is to help save this planet, to help save this world. And I'm asking you to reconnect with nature. So take your journal and start paying attention when you're out there for that little 15 minutes. Is what birds do you hear? What time of the day is it? Do you notice a pattern? Because there's little things that go on in nature, and they don't just happen randomly. They actually have their own clock, and we've all forgotten that. If any of you have ever sat outside for 4 days and 4 nights on a fast, you will become very aware of the clock of nature. It's the same every day. You find if you sit out, I'll share a little bit with you because it blew me away when my elders first put me out to sit out for 4 days and four nights. I was blown away that the same birds come out at the same time of day and they do the same thing every single day. There's a time when the night birds come out. There's a time when the morning birds come out. There's the time when the hawk comes out. There's a time when the hawk goes in. There's a time when the owl comes out. There's a time when the owl stops. There's a certain smell in the air in the morning that isn't in the air in the afternoon. There's a smell in the afternoon that is not in the air in the morning. There is such an abundance of information out there in nature that we have all forgotten because we're not out there anymore. I'm going to share a little something that happened to all of you on the call that just still is with me in this moment because I realize how powerful prayer is. And this is no accident. My sister Wendy was there. Some of that ugly came into our ceremony this weekend and tried to take us out. And we women, we know our place. We women bears know what we're supposed to do. So we all gathered up and we went between the place of the fire and the place of the ocean because we were camped right there on our big mother, the ocean. And we knew that all we had to do was pray and sing and that the ugly would be deflected. And we were so determined. This is the power of women. And it's the power of the women that's in a man. So don't you men out there on this call think you don't have work to do. Because you have women inside of you. So if you can tap into that, this prayer that you're going to find is that woman that's inside of you. So us women, we stood there. I don't know how many there was, 12 of us maybe. I don't know. Felt like 100 of us in that moment. We're standing there with our sticks and our drums, and we start to pray and sing because we love our brother bears. We love our brothers and sisters, and we don't want this ugly to hurt our loved ones anymore. So we started to pray and sing really loud, and a big earthquake happened. And we felt it. And we thought, whoa, what was that? The earth shook in the middle of our prayers, in the middle of the time. And at the point that earth shook, we did not stop singing. Actually, we didn't even really focus on that earthquake so much. We were still so strong in prayer. And when we were all done, we hugged each other and we said, oh my God, our prayer was so soft, so strong that it made the earth move. And that to me was a huge affirmation that Mother, she beat her drum for us. She gave us one big pound, one big vibration of her heart in the center of earth. Earthquakes aren't always bad. They're just natural. They're just doing, she's doing what she's got to do when she shakes like that. And we gave her a big chill. And she shook once like that to show us, yes, you're right on. Keep up the good work. And in that moment, the ugly was done. It was done. It was no, the power was gone. And we all knew it, so we just went back to what we were doing. We didn't focus on any, wasn't any big deal. It was a big deal, but it wasn't like any big surprise to us. We know how powerful prayers are. We've been doing this for many, many years. So we knew. But one thing I think that a reason I wanted to share that with you all today is to know the power of prayer can move the earth. The power of prayer can move her in a good direction. It can move it in a positive direction. It doesn't always have to be a destructive direction. So when it's pouring rain and the storms are coming, we've been trained up in our way by our elders how to work storms, even if it's a firestorm. We stand and we work the storm. And we work those things from the place of that little box you just drew on that piece of paper. That little box is a map of how to work things that come from our Mother, the Earth. So this is no light thing I just shared with you. This is a very big thing, and this lots of things will stem from this for you. If your questions might come days from now, maybe as you practice this and align with this and realize how this is all linked together, you'll find that things will come to you and you may want to have a place to take that. Our circle is growing. And, you know, as Darlene had shared in her prayer, we had no idea. And our collaboration is growing by leaps and bounds. And I know GOT is doing a lot of work that falls into the same prophecy. And there's others that are now hearing about this prophecy of the bear. And they're wanting to meet in places. There's these mountains, these seven mountains that we go to. Everybody's got one. We got Mount Shasta. So we'll be taking this prophecy, this bear ceremony, to Mount Shasta this year. And we're going to be praying for a collaboration that's coming between even more people all over the planet. And they're feeling this, and they're realizing we need to do something. So next year in 2020, we're going to have a really big ceremony at Mount Shasta, because something about 2020, and I don't really know all of that yet, other elders are feeling it, it's something is going to be coming from these mountains. Information is going to be coming from these mountains. But you won't hear it in English. You won't hear it in the native tongue. You won't hear it in your ears. You will hear it from everything that you just drew on that box. There's a language that comes to us that if you're in alignment with everything you just drew on that box, you will know instinctively and intuitively what to do next when it really starts to get dicey. Because Mother hasn't shown us everything she's got yet. The climate change and all these things that are happening right now, they're not going to go away. They're here for a reason, and they might seem really scary to all of us when we watch the news and we see all these horrible things and everybody being killed and dying in these horrible storms and these horrible fires. There is a way to survive all of those if you are in alignment and know how to listen for them and how to align with them when they come your way and they knock on your back door. They come to your neighborhood. These fires, they're all around. I live in a neighborhood where the biggest fire in the state of California's history was knocking at my back door last year, and we had to evacuate. We weren't scared because we're aligned with this. We weren't scared. We were empowered. We were overwhelmed when we realized, wow, this is powerful. Yeah, these are bad fires. And, yep, our house might burn down. But we are not going to die. We're not going to burn up because we're going to know which direction to go based on what I shared with you. By smelling, by watching, by feeling, we're going to know which way to go. My husband, he jumped in our Jeep. And we went a different direction than what the sheriffs told us to go because he knew which way to go based on the smell in the air. He's really good at this. I wish he was here to tell you how he could share with you how he actually uses his senses. And I think the reason it works a little better for him is because his people are from this land. So you're always going to be a little more powerful where your relative's blood has spilled. So maybe, I don't know if that's it. I mean, I'm just guessing. But he had an instinct. He made a left turn, and all the sheriffs kept going, wanted us all to follow. Well, he made a left turn, and he went up a different road, and we got out of my Jeep. He wanted a four-wheel drive, you know, because he knew he had to get off the road. So we're in a four-wheel drive, and we're sitting up there, and we're watching these big flames coming up over, heading towards our house. And we both got quiet, and we just prayed, and we watched the fire. And we started to speak. Both of us started to speak to the fire. We said, "We're watching you. What do you want to tell us right now?" And the fire said, "I'm angry. I'm angry. And everything that you see in these flames is angry. The trees are angry. The grass is angry. Because it's out of balance and you mess things up. And this is how we show you our anger. This is how we deal with it." We're going to clean it up. We're going to clean it all up with this big fire. And, you know, as we watched that fire, we didn't want to run from it because we were listening to it. We were letting it fill us up. We both started to cry. We felt bad because we knew a lot of animals were running in different directions, and there was a lot of things dying in that moment. But we realized that, you know, it's not really dying, because fire, as my husband will teach all the people, fire changes things. It doesn't really destroy anything. It just changes it from one thing to another thing. So really, why would we be frightened of that? It's just doing what it needs to do. Now, we don't want to burn up in it, so we're going to watch it. We don't want to turn our back on it and jump over there on the freeway and follow all the cops, because guess where they were going? I don't know if any of you knew about those fires, but those were two fires that merged, and everybody was heading towards where the other fire was coming from. Well, they knew to get out of the way and turn again. They went and evacuated, and then they had to close that evacuation place down and move everybody to another evacuation place. So it was a crazy time. And guess where we ended up? Back home. We knew when we saw the way things were going and we were listening to the fire, we knew what direction it was going. So we came home because we knew we would be okay here, and we were. And, you know, those police, they're not too happy with us when we tell them that they don't know what they're doing and we're going back home because they, you know, they're just doing their job. But the point I'm trying to make here to all of you is that don't be afraid of the weather when it's like that. I don't know if there's any of you have seen, there's a movie, I don't know the name of it, but this old couple, this big wave is coming and they know they can't run from it. And they just go sit on the beach and they hold hands and they look at each other and they embrace that big wave, and it just comes over and changes their spirit from a body into the water. So really our fear is just the fear of unknown. It's just the fear of what will be if we change, if we become a different, if we come from the body to the spirit. It's just our ego running from the fear of destruction. So imagine embracing that hurricane or embracing that fire through the prophecy and seeing that there's a way to watch it, talk to it, learn from it, and then just go with it. You know, just go with it. If you have to let it take you, let it take you. But if something takes you and you're in fear, you will not find the spirit in it. I don't want to die afraid. I don't want to be in fear when I die. And I don't know how I'm going to die, but I know that the prophecy teaches me that fear is a way of dying in life. So instead of being afraid, the prophecy teaches me to embrace even the chaos, to embrace Mother Earth as she shakes us off. Just embrace everything as this is the way it's supposed to be, because this is the end of something that just didn't work anymore and the beginning of something new. The more people that embrace that and not be afraid of it, it will go away. It will have less power in your life. It won't influence you the same way anymore. So fears are not our number one enemy. My elder Hossa, I bet a lot of you probably heard this by now, he used to say what fear means is false evidence appearing real. And then he would also say that fear is pain leaving the body, or pain is fear leaving the body. Sorry, I got that backwards. So pain is fear leaving the body, and it will pass. The minute the fear is gone, you will no longer feel the pain. So I don't know if that helps to explain it through my own experience. I don't know if
Thank
I heard
you.
Somebody.
This is Darlene. I just, whoa, I just want to take a moment.
Good thing it's 6 o'clock. I would be starting to ramble on.
Oh, no. Well, thank you. Thank you, sis. Wow, I just want to have everybody just take a deep breath. That was, wow. I'm feeling a lot in the moment. Thank you so very much for sharing this sacred box. And as you're speaking, there's so many memories that are coming to me of us, Wendy and myself and others, living up what we call Crystal Mountain, which we are still stewarding it. It's 160 acres in the middle of the Stanislaus National Forest. Wendy is one of many who lived in a yurt. I had a little cabin, but it was all about being outside and all about when the turkeys came by and how beautiful the morning sun rising was. That was phenomenally even more beautiful than the setting sun, and I would not have known that way had I not been living so close to nature. And what a gift that is. What a gift that you have just given us. Thank you so very much. This, I'm calling it the sacred box. Really,
yeah.
Please, I'll go outside and do this. For me, this prophecy is exactly what we need for us, because everybody's asking, what can I do? Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. What can I do? How can I help the earth? You know, the normal, we recycle, we, you know, get on board, we run 10 miles. There's so many things that we can do. And this is how we build up our vessel, our sacred being, in order to be in tune with her so we can hear what she wants us to do.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I was just remembering, and many questions. So I want to open it up for everybody to, what you will do is, if you have a question, you will press 1 on your phone pad, and Margene will then call on you. I think at this point in time, she's going to mute everybody's microphone until we raise our hand. And I just happen to be on here too, and I see that Wendy's raising her hand. She's probably getting ready to jump onto another call. So Wendy, why don't you go ahead before you need to go?
Okay, great. Thank you. Shitui, I didn't get that, the top box. Would you go over the first 2 lines of the sacred box, the north and
yes.
the east?
Mm-hmm. So the top is air, smell, nose, mind, and north. That's the top row, the top 5. Starting from left to right, air, smell, nose, mind, and north.
Right, and then the first box on the second line.
Fire.
Awesome, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Gotta run. Blessings to everybody.
Okay.
It was beautiful. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you, Wendy. And so, Margene, will you call on people who have their hand up, please?
Yes. We have Rick. Rick, your mic is open.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, I had a question on the box also. I missed line 4, or I'm sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then space 3. So we start with earth, touch, and then I missed the next one.
Body. Your body.
Body. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I'm wondering if maybe we can somehow, is it okay to like create some diagram that could possibly be sent to people on the phone?
Yes,
on the call?
And this will be, absolutely, and this will also be part of our teaching that we're working on, those 13, this will
mm-hmm.
be part of that. So I can do that, yes.
Okay, great. Oh, wonderful. That's wonderful. There's
okay.
so much. Okay, go ahead, Margene.
So we have Michelle. Michelle, your mic is open.
Is that me?
Michelle? Yeah.
Okay. I'm surprised. Okay, I'm in the UK, in Britain, and my practice, I have north, east, south, west, with different elements. How do you feel about those being changed? Is it really fixed?
Oh, you have different elements? If you were to
make
this
so
box...
for instance, air for me is east, fire is south, water is west, earth is north.
Okay, so that's a specific teaching to the four directions. This is something different. This is
that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, you got it. This is different because what this is
fabulous.
This is aligning. Yeah, this is aligning your physical, your senses, and all that to that specific direction. So this is just how your body works with Mother Earth.
Really interesting. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I have to say, I met Jyoti on her pilgrimage here. So I was in circle with her on the 17th.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
that's wonderful. So you're our connection. Yes, thank
absolutely.
You. Thank you for being on the call here as well. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
I love it when it works.
Yeah. Thank you. Nice meeting you.
You too. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. We have a G-Bike.
Hi, this is a GBK.
GBK, sorry.
No, that's okay. It's a Yoruba name. You mentioned the two teachings. You said inner Kundalini and above the all-seeing eye. Is that correct, what you said, the two teachings?
Yeah, because it's the direction of the inner direction and the direction of the above direction. So the inner is the sense of spirit and the Kundalini. The above is the third eye or clairvoyance.
Okay, that's what I wanted to verify, what you said.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Beth, your mic is open.
Thank you. Hi, C2E.
Hi!
Hi. Thank you for that. I was just smiling and laughing and getting chills and watching the osprey fly around, so big thanks. And I have one question, which is sort of similar to one someone already asked, but it's about how do I hold sort of different directional teachings? Because I have the one from my ancestry, which I would use for my ancestral altar, but that's kind of a constant question for me of how to walk in respect to both this land and my ancestors. So can I hold these two systems at the same time, and any tips for how to do that?
Absolutely. You absolutely can. This particular teaching will work. I mean, let's put it this way. I would probably better answering that question looking at what you have, because there's so many indigenous teachings that use the four directions with different elements, but to see how they're using them, I can tell you I can find the similarity in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it will work, which will go to the other sister who was also asking the same question, is that we can actually take all the teachings from all the different indigenous people, all the different senses that go with different directions, what have you, or totems or whatever it is, and we can find a similarity to make that work in aligning you with nature. This one's just more direct.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have... We could probably sit down, you and I, which is going to be important for what we're all working on together right now. We could sit down and we could do the same thing with yours.
Okay, I love that. I love that. And I'll think about that just as I'm sitting with them, kind of how they connect.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you.
That cute little voice.
I know, isn't that great? Oh, our next seven generations speaking on the phone in the background.
Great.
We love it.
Misha, you press 5. But do you have a question?
Is that me?
Yes, Misha, you press 5, not 1. But I wonder if you have a question.
Well, I accidentally pressed it, but I have a couple of questions. But that wasn't that was not intentional. It was not meant to press a button.
Okay.
I was, for it.
And now you're
okay.
Here.
Okay. Well, one of the questions, you mentioned at the beginning, Shitui, and thank you so much. Bear is very, very dear to my heart since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
So thank you. I have so many questions. One of them is, at the beginning when you started talking, you had mentioned a timeline. I think you said 1987 to 2039, if I'm remembering correctly.
That's right.
I am so curious, during that very long timeline, to my mind, are there different things that are happening during that time, or certain periods, or are there ceremonies or work or kind of things to look for or to do during that time? And I guess that's one question.
Mm-hmm. So yes, if you think about what that prophecy means, it's a cleansing. It's a great time of purification and cleansing. So anything that you do would be in alignment with clearing, cleansing, and the death of the world that no longer serves you. So you can do this in your daily life. Is you can use it from a place of your person, and throughout your life. Through this cycle, you have a opening through this great Ursa in the sky, this opening to clear out the old and prepare for the new. And it's not very comfortable. I'm going to warn you about that. It is never going to be comfortable when we do that. So it's always going to be challenging. So it is this particular cycle is one of challenge and being uncomfortable and finding comfort and finding peace. In that is our job. So I hope that answers your question. It's a chaotic time, okay? It will be very chaotic.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I have a few more questions, but I don't want to monopolize the time, which is why I didn't intentionally mean to press a button. I was going to wait and see how many people had more questions. And then if there was time at the end, maybe there will be time for me to ask one or two more of my questions.
No, I think you can go ahead, Misha. This is Darlene. Why don't you go ahead and do that? And well, we've got you.
Well, okay. I'm curious about the bear ceremonies and the work with the bear, and how can we learn more? Because you said you have a lot more to share. How can we learn more about this?
Well, you know, we're currently working on, as Darlene had stated earlier, we're currently working on some offerings through CSS that will offer that very thing, and we'll give people an opportunity to, they'll be in different segments and at different times, so it'll give people an opportunity to be exposed to more of these teachings and more of the work that we're doing to get back to nature. The entire program is absolutely about that, getting back to nature through the bear way, through the prophecy. So there's definitely that's available.
Stay tuned.
I don't know where you live. Where do you live?
I live in San Francisco.
Oh, well, you're close then.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, we're right up the road from you. Yeah, we're, what, 3 hours, 2-3 hours north of you.
Okay.
So, I can give permission for Wendy or Darlene to give you my email, and then you can email me, and I can give you some dates of bear ceremonies if you wanted to attend. We do have one. We have one in Mount Shasta that is very important. It is an open ceremony, and if you want more information from that, you can just get my email and email me, and I can give you more information on that.
I would love that. I actually meant to reach out to somebody to get your contact information because I had a phone call with Jyoti, I think sometime at the end of May, and I was telling her about a bear dream that I had because I was ordained in the last ministry class for CSS, and then a few days later I had this really strong bear dream, and I had told her about it, and she told me that I should contact you and Penny to learn more about the bear work.
Well, that's great then. I look forward to seeing your email.
Perfect.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you
so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Victoria, your mic is open.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi. I wasn't sure if I was muted or not. I wanted to say hi. I really appreciate the teachings that you just shared. I'm within a lineage that comes from the South, from a woman by Two Moonwalker. And some of the things that you shared with the blueprints and stuff also is very close to what I've already been taught for 20 years. So it's very familiar. And I want to say I thank you, and I appreciate that.
All right. Glad to hear someone else is doing it.
Yeah. I've been blessed. I have spent, weeks at a time there in learning. I am also very close to you. I am up just to the north of you in Ashland. If you would be so kind, I would love, I do know some people, I know Wendy Ireland and some people down in the area that are familiar with mm-hmm. that are part of the bear medicine ceremonies, but I would, if you would be so kind to extend that offer to me also, I
Absolutely.
Would definitely love to be involved in many ways.
Yes, you absolutely get that email address and just make reference to tonight's call, because I get a lot of emails and I want to make sure I don't mix you up with someone else.
Okay, I will
thank
do
you.
That. And
you bet.
Again, thank you so much, and thank you also for I have an understanding of everything that you probably do and what you carry out in the world, and I do want to express my appreciation for what you're holding and the sharing of the teachings.
Thank you so much, and keep us in your prayers. It's not always an easy path.
I know. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria. Jill, your mic is open.
Thank you so much. Hi, I unfortunately missed the first about 20 minutes of the call, so I may be asking something redundant, but I was also interested very much in where you're located and again, whether I might be able to participate in ceremony. And I will re-listen to the recording so I catch up on what I did miss, because I'd like to understand even more about the prophecy. But it feels very important, and I'm very grateful for this offering. It's very deep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need all the help we can get right now. We need as many people on this little canoe as we can get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hear that. Yes. with your permission, I'd also love to reach out and find out more about the offerings.
You bet. Absolutely.
Great. Great. Thank you so much. Thanks for
thank you to you
and thank you to CSS and all, everybody for what we're doing here. So important.
So important. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing. Glad you're on the phone call. Yeah, and we'll get information to people so that it sounds like, you know, the invitation is being received. It's a call out for help. It's a call out for us to, you know, when we walk into the sacred space, look around, mm-hmm. learn, listen, pay attention, because there's mm-hmm. protocol, there's sacred ceremony. You know, as we say, put our bare skin on and get humble so that when we walk on the ground that we don't have those prejudices and our hearts and our minds and our can be open and clear so that we can be part of, you know, the prayer that's happening. And so when that wave of, as Shitui was sharing, when that wave of my elders used to tell me that as big as the light is as big as those dark things that want to come and nibble at it. And so we need to be prepared when we walk into these sacred circles that we don't bring more baggage to fuel the fire, but that we stay in a clear and sacred container inside ourselves so we can allow the healing and be part of that movement that's happening. So thank you, sis, for inviting all of us, and we'll make sure that we get you the information that you need. So if you can write into the Center for Sacred Studies on this link, then we'll make sure to link you up, and then it'll come to you, sis, in such a way that your responses will be identified, so you'll know who people are that way.
Excellent.
Okay?
Very good. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Perfect.
When you say through this link, am I still audible?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. When you shared to respond through this link, does that mean through the invitation to the call or a different way?
Margine, that's the invitation to the call? If they respond to that email, yes. That's the way.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much again.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Chris,
yes.
Your mic is open.
Oh, good. I just wanted to say that I'm very interested in the bear ceremonies and would love your email address at the end of this. You didn't give it online yet, so I imagine you're going to give it to those people who request it, and I'm requesting it.
I think they just explained that we're going to go through that link. Can you explain that again, Margine?
Yes, we got to send an email, and through this email, you go to get the email address of Shitui, and you go to send an email from this email to her.
Okay.
So let me just share it differently. If you are interested in the bear dances or speaking with Shitui for more of her teachings, whether it's to, you know, check in on some of the things that are coming up, write to respond to this email that came from the Center for Sacred Studies that talks about the prophecy and the bear phone call. Then we will receive that information and we will send it to Shitui, and then she can start responding directly to you, as opposed to giving everybody on this phone call, you know, her direct information. This way she'll see the forwarded emails from the Center for Sacred Studies with the prophecy and the bear on it and know that it's about this phone call, and that will help her with her inbox.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great, thank
you. Okay. Yes, thank you, Chris.
All right, see you on Saturday. Thanks, bye.
Yay, see you on Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you.
And so any other go ahead, Margine, excuse me.
Yes, there is another question from AGBK. Your mic is open.
Hi.
You answered one, which is the reply to the email. Thank you, because I'm interested in the beer ceremonies. But my second question was on the time period, 1987 to 2039. And you mentioned it's a cleansing period, a time of challenge.
Mm-hmm.
How else? What else is in that time period that with all the chaos that's going on, if messages comes in from the different sides of the universe, are we supposed to utilize that message to calm the chaos or to just allow it to happen and not say anything?
You know, it's going to depend on what comes through. And that's why it's important to spend as much time in nature as you can and become familiar with this little graph that I gave you. Because in this time, which we also call the in-between times, is a abundance of opportunity. So you can look at it from the perspective of incredible opportunity. You can look at it from the perspective of really powerful connection to the spirit world, because we don't believe at this time that there is any longer a veil. We used to say, oh, the veil is getting thin. The veil between the spirit world is thinning. We now believe that in this time of this prophecy, there is no more veil. We are actually living simultaneously in the spirit world. Our consciousness just hasn't caught up to it yet. So that when I say this is a grand time of opportunity, it is a time to slough off all of the illusions and all the things that you might think are real and actually focus on the fact that we are pure spirit spending a few moments in a body. And that's what this is all about right now. So it's a grand opportunity to dance in the spirit world simultaneously to spending that moment you are in your body. What a grand time this is. I hope that answers the question.
It certainly does. It certainly does. And that's the question that I've been toying with. Because knowing that this is a time where spirit is open, but then you have the rest of the population who's not open yet to that.
There you go.
You're hesitant to mention these messages because that message may be detrimental. So you withhold it. So that was my question of withholding it to preserve the planet or releasing it, which is the better of both. So that's...
And you'll know. You'll know as you practice. You'll instinctively know when it's time to speak and when you should be careful and not speak.
Correct. Thank you so much. That is a great confirmation. Great, great confirmation. Thank you so much.
Very, very good. Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, great, great questions. I don't know if there's any others. Are there any last-minute ones? Because we're going to be getting ready to close.
There's one more person. Jesse, your mic is open.
Ah, Jesse, I'm glad you're on the phone tonight. Perfect.
Yeah, great. Thank you. That was this is great. Wondering if you can just say... a few words about spirit and soul.
Oh, what a great question. I love it. So I'm going to share something my elder once told me. Is spirit is an ongoing process. The soul is the individual. So your soul is specific to who you are, your own soul. You as spirit is connected through the entire spirit, the entire consciousness of spirit, spirituality, spirit world. That is where we are no longer separated. Soul isn't, it's a sense connected to spirit, but it belongs and it's more specific to our own path and our own timeline.
And my elder used to tell me that when you would, in an autopsy, there was no way that you could find the mind or the spirit or the soul in an autopsy. And I used to wonder, wow, what does he mean by that? He used to just make my brain swirl, because we're in this body, but we're also in spirit, and our soul is in that spirit. So it was just mind-boggling for me to try to get it. And really what he would tell me is, well, that's because your silly ego is trying to perceive what I just told you through your own experience. So step out of your experience, close down your ego for a moment, and become inspired in your soul. Oh, okay. So I don't know if that helps, but...
Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, that's, I've not heard it described. I like that. Thank you. Wow. That is great. Thank you so much, sis. I want to bring us all for a close. Thank you to all those who have been on the call with us tonight, and all of those who are going to be listening to this later as Margene sends it out to all of us. And again, if you would like to get more information from Shitui, respond back to the email that you received on this particular prayer portal call tonight, the prophecy of the bear, and with your request, information, and then we will make sure we get that to her. And sis, I've kind of put a little diagram together about the what I'm calling the sacred box, and I'll send that to you to see if that works okay for people. And then when we have this recording and we do this soon, then we can send this as an attachment so that people could, you know, here again, I took away their experience of writing it down. But anyway, if you like it, then we can have that be attached. So once again, thank you. I love hearing you and the wisdom that you share. It's so nature. And, it just brings me back to, you know, this form that we're in and that we're part of Mother Earth, you know. So that's what we do is we got to get ourselves back to being in tune with her and listening to her. So thank you so much. Prayers to Kenny. We missed him. We're sending our love to him, and that he was missed, but that he was here with us. And for those, you know, that will be taking up that offer to show up at a bear ceremony, they'll get to meet him that way personally too, although he'll be very busy.
Yes, and, he will.
And, you know,
but you
it's
might
the
get
humor.
Whacked on the head with his eagle wings, so you'll get to meet him.
I have a funny story there, but it's time to close. Okay. So with that in mind, I give great thanks to you and to Kenny, to your teachers, your elders, your guides, and I am so very grateful that you walk with this wisdom that you could share with us. And in closing, will you please bring forth a song for us today, tonight, that will, you know, be our closing prayer for the evening? And when that's done, we're going to open everybody's mic so that you can all say hello and hear our voices, and with a big kiss, goodnight.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know how singing is going to come through the speakerphone, but we'll do our best. I'm going to share with you a song that comes from my tribe, and this song is out there, so if you catch it, you can welcome to use it, because it's just thanking the mother. So when we say Ima, we're saying mom, and then Tuaska means thank you. That's all it is thank you, mom, thank you, mom, thank you, mom. So it's really kind of how our songs go, pretty simple and to the point. So that's the song I'm going to offer up in closing. And I think all of you know this song at CSS. Mm-hmm. Ima, 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 Ima.
Maria, Tuaska Ima Ia, Ima Ima Ima, Ima Ima Ima, Ima 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 Ia, Ima Ia Ima Ia, Tuaska Ima Ia. Imaya, Imaya, Tuaska Imaya, 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 Imaya,
Amen. Thank you. Blessings, one and all. Margene, open everybody's mic up, and we can all say goodnight.
Good night.
Yahweh. Yahweh.